Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Mom?
Dad, it's me.
We need to talk about sex.
I know you don't want to.
You think I'm too young.
You're afraid if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
You're Pookie Bear.
You're Lammy Lumpkins.
You're Bubby Chubbs.
But come on, talk to me about sex.
Tell me you want me to wait. Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
I know you want me to wait to have sex.
So don't wait to tell me. Talk to me.
Tell me to wait.
And guess what? If you go to 4parents.gov,
you can get help on how to talk with me about sex.
Look, this is important. Come on, Dad.
Let's do this, Mom.
Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
And don't worry.
I'll always be your little muffin head.
Your ginger snap.
Your pumpkin face.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
What is the plan? Tell me how. Tell me how to walk this land. You are tapping in the nighttime. You're tapping all day long. Maybe I am the song of freedom. Am I the voice of so many men and women and children who love one another? Men and women and children who sing for the river's men. Women and children who sing for the mountains. Men, women and children who sing for the hungry. Men, women and children who sing for the dying. Men, women and children who care for all people. Men, women and children, I sing for all people. I sing for all people.
Charles Holt.
That's right. Straight out of the mind of God. Listening and tapping in, getting turned on, and releasing the inner genius. Releasing the wisdom within, releasing the creativity. That was Charles Holt. His website address is Intuitive Rebel. He thinks it is, but he's trying to Google it. But don't tell anybody, okay? Yes, it's intuitiverebel.com. I knew that. Just checking. Just take a breath and understand that I am a lifetime learner of all that is good, all that is life, all that is God. To find out more about Charles Holt, that's right, go to his website, intuitiverebel.com. We're tuning in today. We're tuning into the inner genius. We're tuning into the truth of who we are. We're tuning into the truth, not the facts, not the stories. Are you ready to grow? Are you ready to expand? Are you ready to show up? And blow up. Yes, we need some truth blowing up. Too many people who are repressed and depressed. You need to just allow that truth within you, that inner joy, that creativity, that awesomeness. You need to just let it explode and let it rain down on the planet. Because we're all creative beings, all of us. And the doctors told you all the so-called experts, or let me put it this way, some of the experts say, oh, you know, there comes a time when your brain is not as effective as it was when you were younger. BS. If you really understand what you're made of, where you were birthed from, you will remind yourself that there is nothing you can't do, especially when you're in alignment with the life force of life. That's right, the life force of life. Life has a life force, and it shows up in so many different ways. Welcome to the House of Love. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself and tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, change is inspired, and when we do our job, you make a difference. And because that's the intention, we know that you're making a difference. So we ain't even tripping. We know it is already done because we have set the intention to support you on your transformation journey. So just by the fact that you listen to the show, even if you're not listening right now, I'm speaking to the soul and the spirit of those who are not listening. Just because you saw the title of the show, you saw something about Life Conversations Radio, you're making a difference. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. And I am is the host. That's right. The I Am presence. That's the one driving this vehicle called Life Coach Ade. And I say yes, I surrender. Let me bring on my wonderful co-producer. I don't know what's going on with some of my browsers. But ain't nobody got time for that. Let me pick on Celeste. I got time for her because she got something to say. I know you do. And even if you don't, you can make stuff up. Can't you, Celeste? You better. Let me go quiet on me now.
My phone was doing something. Hello, Life Coach today. How are you today?
Hello. I'm good. I think, you know, it's all this, just this great energy that's raining down on us. And, you know, we get impatient, we get mad at the technology, computers and stuff, not doing what they need to do. But we've been showered with some high vibrational energy. And the computers and the phones and our brain has to adjust. That's why it's important to slow down sometimes to allow the aligning.
Right.
What else?
That was beautiful.
Some people might be putting well, you know, it is what it is.
Some people might be what? Your words got lost. We don't want to lose that in the water. Some people might be what?
Oh, I don't know what I said. See, some people might be, I can't even pull it back. Sorry, I guess.
Slow down.
Go ahead. You said what?
I said, as you said, the key is to slow down.
The key is to slow down and allow the integration. I think I said some people may be tripping. I don't know. But I'm sure y'all heard in spirit. What?
No, you on point.
Are you there?
No, you got it. I'm right here.
So, are you tripping? Is that what it is?
You know, energetically, I think we are, and I see our beautiful guest is in the house. Emily is with us. And I want to thank the guests in the chat room. I'll let them know that they can sign on to Blog Talk Radio if they want to join the conversation. But you can stay incognito, all as well. So I'm going to get to your announcements because I am so ready to hear about how to the whole human being.
You're getting ready. You're ready to tap into the genius talent, the creative genius talents within you? I am too.
Absolutely. May it overflow in every place of my place of being, particularly at work. Here we go. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the metaphysical rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here. From Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with. So Life Coach a Day and our beautiful guest, Muti Elder Emily, can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do Facebook or you can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then, you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moments with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Did you know that you have access to Life Coach Today any time of the day? Sure you do. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. Is there a topic you would like Life Coach a Day to explore on an upcoming show? You can email him that too. Let's get Life Coach a Day's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of July is Love is Freedom, and we have wonderful shows that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, we get to welcome back Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach a Day, which airs on the last Wednesday of the month. Get ready for part 2 of The Guru, Your Soul. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your Ancestral Blueprints may still be influencing your life today. And be sure to join Ambassa Safara for the play experience. Have you played with yourself today? Do you passionately love and appreciate you? If not, take a trip on a playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And if you can't get enough of Life Coach a Day, he will be her special guest on the Playground of Life this Thursday. Also, be sure to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we connect with introspective tools like tarot to get you more clarity about your life's journey. For more info, go to
lifeconversationsmedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover. Don't click on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach a Day drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. No amount is too small, and we thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach a Day.
Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. You're working it out over there. I love the way you roll. I like the way you move. Bump, bump, bump. Stop it. I keep telling myself, I have to remind myself my sleeping voice is not always ready for the show. But you know. What's wrong with you?
You got me laughing over here, man.
You know, that's how I roll. I just get that power to inspire people, make people laugh. That's what it's about. We're here to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Keep
laughing.
Well, so
much fun having this power lunch with you.
Yes, indeed. All right, my friends. See you at round one for Celeste in a moment with Celeste Morgan. All right, Celeste. Yes, indeed. It's time for to activate the super learner inside of you. There is something inside of you that wants to come out. There's something inside of you that wants to express. Are you ready? Are you ready to show up? Are you ready to be more? Are you ready to just allow the godness, the genie in you, the genie in us to be revealed? Because you are a genie, you know. There's a genie in each and every one of us. We call it genius. So all that other thing about some kids are genius. No, we all are. Just some of us. Then maybe you didn't have the opportunity to have that genius in you be nurtured. Didn't have the right amount of water, the right amount of love, the right amount of hug. But you know what? There are no accidents in God. There are no accidents on this planet. Because there are no accidents, it doesn't matter how you grew up. It doesn't matter if you got kicked out of school. It doesn't matter if you feel like I'm not creative. It's all part of your soul development. So here's your opportunity to push the apply button. And as I said earlier at the beginning of the show, those of you saying, well, I'm too old. My brain don't. I can't think stuff like that. Go sit down somewhere. If you're too old, you should be listening to this show. Because we're going to go so fast, we're going to have to blow some of your brain cells. But the good thing about the cells that we do blow up are the brain cells that are already dead. So we're going to help you. So stick around, really. We're trying to activate you because we're here to do amazing things. And, oh, my beautiful elder is in the house. I've got so much to cover. I can't get out there. There's so much. I'm all excited. You know, that's what's missing. That's part of what's missing in the Western world. We need more elders to remind us of how it was, how it is, how it can be, and the power within us. Too many people are doing their independent stuff. And we're wondering why we can't figure it out. Well, we're going to help you figure it out. That's why we have Elder Emily. That's what I call her. But she's also Muti Diane. No, okay, Muti Emily Diane Gunter. Calm down, brother, man. Okay, I know what to do. Let me read her bio so I can bring her on. We've got a lot to cover. We want to talk about super learning. And parents, pay attention. Young people, pay attention. Maybe young people are on vacation now, so they're probably listening to me. They're probably on Facebook. School is going to start soon, man. I just wish I don't have to go back. Come listen to this show and get hooked up with Muti Emily. Man, you've been looking forward to school. Okay, let me read a little bit about Muti Emily. Let's go here. Muti Emily Diane Gunter is the founder of the Rites of Passage Youth Empowerment Foundation and international facilitator the foundation dedicated to bring peace to our world through the personal empowerment and spiritual development of all youth in truth, simplicity, and love. Let's breathe that in. We take those simple virtues, those fruits of the Spirit, we take it for granted. The foundation of all Muti Emily's work has been the power of your breath for balanced lifelong learning since 1970 at the American University. Muti Emily is a retreat facilitator, educational consultant, spiritual life coach, author, a grandmother, elder, a woman who truly is full of wisdom. And she's a student of life, a teacher of life. Her latest book is Super Learning 3000, Learning Made Easy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome our elder, that's Elder Emily Diane Fenton. She's back. Welcome back. How are you doing?
So glad to be back. It's been quite a long, wonderful summer with 65 campers at the University of Miami through the nonprofit of my children, Urgent Inc., the Youth Empowerment Academy. And so today is my first day off.
day on. Huh?
Yes. So I'm very glad to be here and relaxed into this wonderful show. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, and right now I'm just giving you a big hug. It's just so, man, I need to see you face to face. We've got to do something about this, because when I feel your presence, I feel how much I'm missing you. It's like, it's been a while, but thank you for being here. I'm grateful for what we have.
Thank you.
You know, I got to ask you this. Every time you come back, every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. I read a little bit about you. There's so much that you're doing to inspire this planet and to show up and, you know, just fulfill your mission, your purpose on this planet. But I want to ask you from your point of view, from your perspective, who are you? Who is Emily Diane Gunter?
I'm just a spiritual light, sharing my light and love with everyone. That's my job, is just to get love and send love all the time. When I hear or see sadness or upset, I just put myself in a beautiful pink bubble of love, and then I send it out to wherever it is. And sometimes I just do the whole earth because so much is going on. And then I release attachment and know that God is and that it's being taken care of because I asked.
No, that's right. Let's just talk about that real quick. You said, because I asked. And people are like, what do you mean? What do you mean? You ask God, and because you ask, God's going to answer your request? I mean, all right now. People say, I know you're an elder, but can you kind of break that down?
Yes,
spiritual light. I love it.
If you don't ask, you can't receive. And if you don't ask through your heart with love, you cannot receive, because when you ask, the universe and all of its parts that we have been given dominion over through the angels, angels of the earth, angels of the fire, angels of the water, angels of the air, and angels of the ether, which is love. And when you ask with that intent through your heart, the universe will rearrange itself just for you, because God said so. And when God says so and you believe what you have heard and what you've been taught and what you have experienced, then and you let go, you got to let go. You can't say, well, I told God what I wanted and I also told God how I wanted it to be delivered. Well, yeah, you'd have messed up. You'd have gotten God's business. And so the Divine Father and the heart. And the heart is that Christ consciousness of unconditional love that's male and female. And then there's the body of God in which you're part of. We are a star in the big star. And so therefore, an infinity attachment between our heart and God's heart. And God's heart is all-encompassing of all those parts of the Godhead, just like the capstone on the pyramid. And so when you ask with no hidden motive, then everything can come to you. Now, if you got a hidden motive and you want to basically control how and what comes to you, well, you're going to have to wait for a minute because you're not ready to receive. And asking and receiving are equal parts. So when you receive, I remember once I said I needed some funds for my rent and my kids and food, and I got $2.50. And all of a sudden, my mouth opened, and I heard through my heart, this opens the door for the rest. So never judge what you get. Just be thankful, and then everything else can come in. If you deny that $2.50, all of a sudden you've denied the rest of the door to open for you because you closed your heart because of your own judgment. So when I say my job is to ask and receive and to give love and to receive love, that's my job. My full-time job is to love, to be love, to receive, and to give love. Now, everything else is an assignment. When people tell me they lose their job, I say, you can't lose your job. Your job is to love and to give and receive love unconditionally, no matter who it is. And a lot of times you turn out the person who is your enemy may just the person who's going to help you. So when you judge who they are in the body and why they do what they do, now you're in God's business again. So you want to ask without hidden motive, ask without control and conditions. And see, that's what's going on with a lot of people these days. They have conditions on everything, which means they're in control, which means they're in God's business. So I tell everybody, mind your business, stay in your body, stay in your lane, have a great life, and just love. And when you look at everything through the eyes of love and through the voice of love and through the touch of love and through the hearing of love and the seeing of love, well, all of a sudden now everything looks different. And it's all the same in front of you, but it depends upon what's going on inside of you, on how you see, feel, speak, touch, and walk. And so if things don't look right on the outside, check the inside. And I guarantee if you come back to love, things will change on the outside. And therefore, when you ask, things will change for you.
Now, that's how you educate. Oh, you certainly did. You certainly did. You know, we call today's topic educating the whole human being. You did that. You educated the mind, the body, and spirit, and emotions. It's like, stay out of God's business. Mind your own business, stay in your body. That's it. That's it. That's why I love talking with you, because you have a way of just allowing the wisdom of God to flow through you. And more and more, I'm seeing how the principles, the laws of the universe are very, very simple. And but when we think about it, it's kind of like, it can't be that simple, but it is. But it is. So as I said, today's topic is educating the whole human being, and that's what you've been doing for most of your life. And then you started off educating your whole human being, yourself, through the games you were playing with your father, and you can tell us more about that. And now you're supporting people, young people, to really understand themselves, is that they are creative, that they have a genius mind. And so let's talk about your latest book, The Super Learning 3000. Learning Made Simple. Yes. Super Learning 3000. So that's taking it to the umpteen degree. Now, let's talk about your journey first, before we even break down and talk about what super learning is. How did this all come about? Because I know in the book you talk about it, how what triggered all this? What's the word I'm looking for? There's something I want to say. And let's see. Yeah, what created this that ended up to, that got to a place, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Go ahead. How did you get to this point?
Well, when I was young, with seven children, my mother was Wolof African and Seminole Indian. you know, hence African American. And my father was German, and he didn't want his German children to his colored German children to grow up in a world of racism. He said that's somebody else's disease, that's somebody else's cancer, and therefore you don't need to embrace what other people think of you, because what they think of you is none of your business. And so he's taught us the arts. My mother taught us about the Christ consciousness of love, and my father taught us about the Egyptian mystery systems and all of the wonderful laws of the universe. And so I would, at 6 years old, I could tell you as much as I know today about the Egyptian mystery systems and the pyramids and the genius of the pyramids. And so, I mean, he taught us levitation and kinesiology. I mean, he taught us everything. He taught us about the power of the mind, and what you think is what you get. And then he taught us about Proverbs, that, as man thinketh, so is he. And basically, you got to monitor and watch your thoughts, because those thoughts become yours, just like your arm, and you can't get rid of them very easily. And so he just constantly, did mind games with us. He would hide. He said energy is everything. And he was a mathematician, which I became a mathematician. He would hide things in his pocket and carry it around for a day, so his energy would be on it. It was seven of us. So he would hide all seven pieces in the house and say, now, pay attention. Listen to your heart. You can hear. If you get quiet. Now, if you got noise going in your head, you can't hear. You can't learn. You can't remember nothing, because you got all this other talk going on, which will keep you desperately in the past. And so we would get up from the dining room table, and he would mentally tell us, each of us, what we were supposed to get and where it was in the house. And in a matter of less than 60 seconds, we would be racing to see who would get there first, get their thing and get back to the table and sit down. It was amazing. And, when you have these kind of experiences as a child, nobody can talk you out of your genius. And so he helped us all to identify what our special talents were when we were young, so that we could carry that forth in our life. He said, because if you use the gifts that have been given to you by God, you'll be able to feed your family and have fun for the rest of your life. Don't ever have a job where it's just a job. You want something that you love to do so much, that they, as they say in that book, they'll pay you to do it. And so I have seven brothers and sisters who are geniuses out there, living and enjoying their life because they had this early experience. And then from there, the next very big leap for me was when I went to the American University, and at night when it was time for me to do my homework after I had been tutoring in math all day, because there was only two math majors on the campus at the time, there was nobody. The office was closed. There was nobody to tutor me because that was it. And my professor would be gone, for the day, and so I didn't have. But I remembered all that my father taught me as a child, that it's in you. And it's not only in you just because of the life you've lived and what you've learned. All your ancestors are answers in there too. And you can even go further than that. You can just ask, and you'll hear the answer. And then after you hear the answer, you're going to have to prove how you got it. But the thing is, you can always work backwards and have your mind, okay, break it down, show me how to do it. So I would go to sleep at night. I'd get stuck. I'd have a 17-page differential equation I had to solve. And I'd get to the end, and I'd have one of the numbers wrong and one of the signs, the plus, negative, multiplication, division. One of those would be. But basically, it was a good job. But that meant that there was an arithmetic problem someplace. And so I would go to sleep and say, okay, find my mistake. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, or she was about 2 o'clock when my brain would wake me up, or as I would say, the angels would wake me up, say, I got the answer. And I would leave my pencil right there on top of my work. And then I would go directly to where the mistake was, fix it all the way down, and then go back to sleep. And people used to say I was a math genius. I said, no, I just listen well. I ask and I listen intently, and I don't question what I hear. And so from there, they asked me if I would become an adjunct math instructor as soon as I graduated, because they needed my services as a math tutor, but now I could do it as an adjunct. And so I started teaching with a master's equivalent because of all the hours I had been teaching in those 4 years. And so that's when I came up with the super learning opportunity, although I didn't call it super learning at the time. It was just the way I thought that I could teach math to anybody. That was my rap. I can teach math to anybody if you come to class. And then I went on years later and started teaching mathematics at Grossmont College. And Claudia Thompson, one of the administrators there, knew that when I retired, I said I was going to teach math. She says, well, can you just teach one math class? Now we have a teacher that left. And I was like, okay, sure. And she said, before I knew it, within 2 weeks, I'm sitting in front of the dean of mathematics, and I'm like, yeah, and I was telling him my process. He says, well, that's different, but let's see, you know, because we have kids who, if they don't take this class, they will not graduate. So I show up to my class 2 weeks later, and the place is a mob. It's only supposed to have been 35 kids. It's 55 kids, and they were all talking about how they hate math, how many times they had failed this particular pre-calculus course, and they need to graduate. I was like, oh, they got to learn how to learn first, how to relax to learn. So I walk away from the class, and it was to, class started at 7:30, and I said, and I came back at 7:29, and everybody now is talking about, oh, I don't think the teacher's going to show, and I mean, they're really at the height of their fear, because that's why I wanted to get them at the height of their fear and then have them swing that fear straight over to empowerment and to joy and to hope. And so when I got to the door, I had a boombox in one hand with classical music in it, and I had in the other hand a box of sidewalk chalk. And so I walked to the front. I know I got to, at the door. I said, excuse me, what class is this? And they said, this is, you know, so-and-so-and-so. And they're grumbling at me. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad that you all showed up to the right place. And I walked in. And they were like, wait a minute, didn't she ask us what place was this? And now she told me, she, congratulations that we showed up. All of a sudden, they had to start waking up in order to process what had just happened. And while they're processing, I'm plugging in my boombox, put on my music, put it on repeat. And in bright pink letters, I put on the board, breathe. They're like, what is this, a joke? I was like, it's only a joke if you choose to fail and if you choose not to come back. I said, I'm going to teach you math for the first time. And so therefore, and if you stay in this class, you'll pass it and you'll love it. So somebody from the left said, but I hate math. And I said, well, that is your attitude. And as long as you hate math, you'll never learn it, because you're in the wrong part of your mind, you're part of the wrong part of your brain in order to receive the information. But if you stay in my class, and I said, if you stay in my class, you come into every class, you will learn math and you will pass this class. And you'll be able to do math for the rest of your life, because I'm going to give you the foundation of mathematics. And so now my music is going around and everybody's looking like, what? Who is this woman? She's just got the confidence of life talking about we're going to learn math if we don't fail it so many times. So at that point, I said, okay, I'm not teaching any math today. I'm going to teach you how to learn. And basically, I had dissected in my own mind before I took this, started that class, or like a couple of weeks before, what did I do to all students who came to me at American University to learn math so they could pass it? And I broke down all the steps that I would have them do in order to be with me. So then I gave them all the tenets of super learning. I gave them first the breathing, and then after the breathing, I went on to tell them that you have to decide who you are in the body. You've got to understand that your thoughts are things, and I'm going to give you non-empowering thoughts that will help you to succeed. And then from there, we went to the brain, how the brain worked, right brain, left brain, whole brain, learning from your heart. And what, when you get stuck and go behind the wall, how to get from behind that wall instead of butting your head up against it. And then I said, and then you have to know what your geniuses are so you know how to approach your life and these problems. Because math is the universal law of life. And if you pass this class, you'll pass your life. I said, you see, there's no laws for the, you know, how to be in, how, rules for being a human being. But I'm telling you, these tenets that I'm giving you now are the rules for being a human being and how to turn on your mind and live the genius and the special talents of who you are. And then they went through the genius. I have a process that I share in the book on how to identify what your geniuses are. And then it said in there, I said, now you can be doing very good in this class but miserable in the rest of your life. That's not going to do you any good. You have to have to choose your life in balance. You have to decide, what do you want? Who are you? And how are you going to use your special talents for the rest of the world and your family? And so I drew a big mind map on the board, and where a mind map is where you have the central idea like the sun, and the rays off of it, the lines off of it, look like the sun. And you put each part of your life on there. So I gave them what I felt were the eight precious parts of your life. And over the years, since 1992, really 1991 when I started this, I have comparing it to all the different tests that people give you, and psychological tests and emotional tests and everything to see if these eight tenets still work, and they still do. Mm. And then I said, now that after I took them through all that, and I mean, this class that went on was, like, it was from 7:30 to 9:30, a three-hour class, and we forgot to take a break because we were so engaged.
I understand that.
I said, I now want you to open your math book. I said, open that math book. You're going to scan in the entire book right now into your right brain. Because your eyes are a camcorder. It's a video machine. You can go right through and scan it all in right brain, but you're not going to read anything yet. They're like, what? Oh, they really try to go wild. At that point, I changed the music to some more classic music, but different. And I said, all right. I said, follow me. If you follow what I do and stay with me as I flip through my book, I want you to flip through yours and take your pointed finger and go straight down. You're teaching your eyes to go from the top of the page to the bottom of the page. And therefore, and after a while, after you do this for 30 days, you won't need your finger anymore because your eyes will automatically take in the whole page. I said, so now let's go. On your mark, get set, go. Let's go. Let's read the table of contents. And then just go straight down. Now let's go to the index. Like, the index? Yes, the index. Go to the index and see all the parts. Now you got all the categories. Now let's go to all the parts. So we went straight down the index, you know, zip, 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 zip. That's how fast. That's how fast we were going. And then I said, now let's do the entire book. And I said, now keep up with me. And I was using the word zip to note that they should be doing a page every time I say zip. Well, at the end of the book, I said, now close the book. And they said, well, we didn't get anything. I said, your false ego is telling you that. What I just told you about your brain, your right brain, your left brain, behind the wall, your false ego, it didn't get anything because it wants to read every single word and go through the judgment and all of that. I said, but your right brain has it. I said, now take a deep breath, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and breathe out. Open your eyes now. Tell me, what is one thing you saw in the book? All of a sudden, the whole class is exploding. Well, I saw this, and I saw metrics, and I saw that, and I saw these properties on this, and they started telling me the entire book. What was in there? Mm. I said, and you thought you couldn't see. I said, if you put it in the right brain and ask, relax and ask, it'll come out. A lot of times we usually ask, but we forget to hush up so we can hear. And so at that point, everybody's like, oh, this is amazing. And yes, it is. And now I want you to scan each chapter. When you have to do an assignment, scan it first before you read it. But we're going to mind map every single chapter. And therefore, by the time you get home to do your work, you have everything in you that you need. And so at that point, I went on to give them more about note-taking, using the mind mapping technique, and then sleep incubation. And after you get your mind maps done, at night, before you go to sleep, right before you drift off, I want you to read that mind map. Your brain will let you read it 3 to 4 times. By the fifth time, it's going to zip around and say, I got it. You know? Mm-hmm. And so I said, and I want you to practice with the mind map we're doing now for this first chapter. Read it tonight. Go over it. Mm-hmm. Right before you go to sleep. And then the next morning, ask, No, just breathe, drink some water when you get up, and all of a sudden everything you just put in shows right up, right for you, ready for a test. I said, if you follow what I say and you mind map with me this entire book as we go through each chapter, you will have everything you need for the rest of your life for any math you do. I said, but you can't put in dead food and expect your brain to work. And I've started playing around all the stuff that was on the desk. Red dye, red sodas, a soda of every kind, candy, chips. And I took my, and this was very stark. I said, they're really going to think you're crazy now, but I don't care, because they can't learn with all that in them, because your brain won't work. Mm. It needs good food, fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, water, and grains. And so I went around with my trash can, and I said, put it in. Put it in, and don't buy no more, as long as you're in my class. After you leave my class, you can do what you want. But never bring any of this back to my class, because it will go in the garbage. And so at that point, everybody was like, okay. I said, so now let's mind up the first chapter. Let me give you the, I said, in the first chapter will be the preface of the book where you have all of the properties of math. I said, who knows what associative is? Who knows what commutative is? Nobody knew any of these words. Who knows what inverse, reciprocal? They knew none of this. What is the LCD? They knew nothing. They knew none of the laws of math in order to do what they're supposed to do. I said, and how many of you love fractions? Oh, the grumbling that came. Oh, my goodness gracious. I said, you have to know fractions in order to do algebra. And precalculus, you have to. So as soon as you have to solve for X, you have created a fraction. And if you're scared of fraction, you're scared of math. I said, and there's nothing to be. I said, you have money. You eat pies. You cut your pies in 8 pieces. You use math all day long. So I said, well, before you go, tell me all the ways you use math. Everybody's like, but we don't. I said, excuse me. Ladies, how many of you like to go shopping on 70% off day? Hands went up. I said, no, you're not allowed to. You have to pay 100% for the rest of your life, because if you want to do 70% off and you want to estimate and calculate that before you get up to see how much that dress is going to cost, you have to use math. And if you don't want to use math, then you're going to pay 100% for everything for the rest of your life. And so these kind of very quick quips to that class. The next class, and I said, by the way, I'm only supposed to have 35 students, but I will fight for all 55 of you to stay in here if you come every day. Mm-hmm. If you miss a class, I'm writing a drop slip for you. I had school attendance all the time, or either they were calling me, you know, telling me of some grand emergency. And I said, you know, okay, you get one. You only get one. You know, so having these kids come. And then I was evaluated by one of my peers, one of the other math professors. He said I was the worst math teacher he had ever met in his life. That I walked in professional with heels on, and about 15 minutes into the class, I was snatching off those heels, throwing them into my briefcase, and putting on some tennis shoes and bopping across. And that I had music playing, and that I was talking with the kids all the time, and I would put mistakes on the board and say, find a mistake, find a mistake. And he said that she didn't do any of the homework. She put 10 problems. She asked the students, what were your 10 hardest problems last night? I didn't do your homework, but we're going to do it right now. He said, so within 15 minutes, she did 10 problems. That's not possible. Although he watched it, you know. And then that same day, he issued evaluations to my class. And he says, don't be afraid of her. Just answer truthfully. And so on their evaluation, says, the first time I've ever learned math. I've hated math all my life. I really like math now. I think I might even major in it. It was amazing. So Dick Moline, who was my dean, said, Emily, you got the worst evaluation we have ever had at the college from your peer. And from your students, you got the best evaluation that we've ever got. So I'm going to have to come and reevaluate you. I said, good. We're doing matrix. You show up and be ready. Be ready to work. Because, I said, I let him sit there because he was so upset. I said, but when you come, you're going to have to actually work. You know, they'll be a part of the class, jump in, you know, be a part of it. And we had that when he came, we had the best time. And he was another genius on hand. And so, you know, with that, of course, he said, well, now that you've done this, all the professors are saying that the students who were C and D students in their class are now all A students, and all those A students are in your class. He said, and these students have, you know, failed math so many times, but now they're getting A's, and not only getting A's here, but they're getting A's in the rest of their classes. What did you do to these kids? You have to do staff development, and that's when it all started. I did staff development for, you know, professional development for all my teachers at Grossmont College. And they said, okay, this is great, but we need the book. Book? I've got three kids in college, one in high school. I work all day in the morning and the day as an engineer with these crazy men. No, I ain't got time. And plus, I hated math in high school. I mean, I hated English in high school. I could barely read. I don't know how I got out of college. And so then I called my friend Judy Cullins, who was a friend of mine, who taught me about Lozanoff and about super learning, the breathing, the music, you know. And so I said, Judy, you write books all the time. Can you write a book for me? She said, sure. And I said, I wanted on the super learning. I said, but I need you to put, you know, these empowering thoughts first, and then I need you to put breathing next, and then I need the brain. She said, oh, you've already written a book. I said, no, I haven't. I just know that I need those first. She said, oh, no, you have written the book. It's in you, and you're not going to write that. You know, I'm not going to write a book with you looking over my shoulder. So she said, girl, go on and write that book, and she hung up on me. I was so upset. I started crying. I was like, she hung up on me? She's never hung up on me. She's never been rude to me like that. I was really upset with her for 6 months. She didn't know that until a couple of years ago. But during those next 6 months, I said, then that night, I said, okay, you're going to have to use your own stuff to write this book. They don't told you that all the kids are using it for everything. So it's not just good for math. It's good for everything. So that night, right before I went off to sleep, I drew me a mind map, put my pen on top, put my glass of water next to my bed, and I said to innate wisdom, all right, look like I got to write this book. Well, I'll tell you what, here's the deal. If you tell me in the morning the 10 chapters that I need to have in this book, I'll write it. Well, goodness gracious, why you set up a deal with the universe like that? At about 2 o'clock in the morning, it woke me up. It woke me up. I'm writing just keywords because the information was coming so fast. I just wrote down keywords for each chapter. And then I really wept. I was like, oh, my God, the person who hates English is writing a book. And I went back to sleep. And then for the next 6 months, I would put this music on by Ray Lynch called Deep Breakfast. And as soon as that would start, my brain would turn on and I'd go into my relaxed system and I started mind mapping everything that needed to be in the book. And I carried this little journal around with me with the mind maps in it so that every time an idea came, oh, that has to be in chapter 7. Oh, good, that has to be in chapter 5. And because mind maps are random, because the information doesn't come linear, it doesn't come straight.
Right.
It doesn't come
in
order. Exactly. It comes all over the place. I said, all right, I got this. So then I can just put it where it belongs in the chapter. After 6 months, I had 10 chapters of full busting information, you know, for my book. And then, what happened, it wasn't at night. It would happen, if the information would come at 4:30 to 6:30 every morning. And this one night, 6 months later, I woke up at 6:30. And I was like, at first I thought I had overslept. I was like, no, you didn't oversleep. It's done. It's done? I'm done? I was like, wow, now how am I going to get all this off of these mind maps into a linear book form? So I didn't type that well. And so I said, well, I'm not that good, so I'll just type in all capitals. And just put periods of curse mark when I have to. And so I would go. would go to each line. I did with the chapter one, and I put chapter one, and then I would go to each line and all the subtopics under each line. And because each in a chapter, these were all paragraphs, and the lines underneath, you know, was the information. And so I would look at each one. type out everything I knew about that little line, and then I'd color a bubble at the end to say that that was in the book. And I kept doing that for another 3 months. And then now I have the whole book typed out, all capitals. And when I said, okay, and it ended up being 400 pages. Like 400 pages. My oldest daughter, who went to Northwestern University and majored in social policy and human services, she said, nobody needs to hear all this about child psychology. They just want to know how to turn the brain on and turn it off. She said, but you need to know that, so when they start questioning you about your research and what you've done, then you'll have the opportunity, you know, to back up your theory. So she took out 100 pages. I was like, wow, okay, well, that's good.
Wow.
Then I went to my son, who went to University of Michigan, and he wanted to be a mathematician, a computer scientist, or a medical doctor. And he switched his major two times, you know. And but in the meantime, he said, Mom, you have a lot about the brain, the physical brain. You have a lot about, you know, the psychology of the brain and neurosurgery. He said, only you need to know that. People just want to know, how do I turn my brain on and how do I use it? He took out 100 pages. So now I'm down to 200 pages. And then I gave it to the real writer of the family. That was Shadia. And matter of fact, she's the one who's writing my autobiography. And so I gave it to her, and I said, can you make this simple? She says, yes, because you've got some words in here that I don't even know what they are. So she said, so you need to make it on the eighth grade level. I said, well, can you simplify it for me and edit it like that? And she said, sure. I said, any duplication or whatever? She said, don't worry, I got you, Mom. She took out 100 pages. So now I'm down to 119 pages. And I was like, this is a tiny little book from all that. But when I sat down and read it, I was like, oh, this is pure genius. I love it. I said, and I had to tell you why this didn't come from me. This came through me, not from me, because I listened. I asked them to help me. I asked the Nate Risen to help me to write this book, and they did. And so then I took it to a topographer. Her name was Karen Pavlison, a genius of a lady who was an editor of a magazine. And so I said, can you make this look like a book? Now, remember, it's in all capitals. And I had those old Epson printers with the little tape, you know, the typewriter ribbon, and it was light. So not only was it all capital, but it was light. She said, don't worry. And so I'm about to hand it to her, but I'm not letting go. She says, now there's one other thing you must do, Miss Emily. I said, what's that? She said, you have to let go of the book so I can do it. So I let go. I said, okay. And then I left her. And she would call for different questions and clarity. She was brilliant, brilliant, just a genius working on this. When I went back and my book looked like a book, I just wept. She had to put up with me crying for half an hour. I was like, it looks like a book. She says, yeah, that's what photographers do, you know. And so, and I had friends who had networked me to a printer, networked me to a publisher, a guy who had been with Harcourt Brace, I think, and now he was on his own. And what was his name? My goodness, his name is leaving my brain. But anyway, he really advised me on the business of the book and got me to this printer. And when I got the book, I came home that day. It's all now bound. It even has writing on the spine. And I sat down with my daughter, Shadia, you know, the real writer, and I said, can I read my book to you? And so in one sitting, and she said, but she was asleep by the time I finished, I read the whole book. And at the end, I got this zing. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. But I know I did not write this book. It came through me, and now I want to share. Well, and at the time, I'm a math professor at night. I'm an engineer in the day, raising four children. And I said, and I got this book. I'm like, what am I going to do now? And so someone said, well, the It Is Written bookstore with Martha and, oh, my goodness, what is her sister's name? Oh, well, Joan. they just opened up the bookstore. So I went over there with a box of books, and I said, I have 5,000 of these things. And when I got there, the door was closed. It was closed. And I was like, oh, I'm heartbroken. So then I left there, and I went over to this conference that I was helping with. My company, Pacific Bell, at the time, where I was an engineer, was sponsoring, you know, helping to sponsor this women's conference called African American Women on Tour. And so they said, the bookstore is over there. That might be why they were closed. So I went over to them, and I said, hi, my name is Emily Diane Gunter, and I just wrote a book called Super Learning 2000 at the time, these, you know, new technologies of self-empowerment, because I figured if you're self-empowered, then you can do anything. Anyway, so they said, I said, can I just put these on consignment with you, and we'll work out the deal? She says, oh, what we'll do is we'll give you 50%. You get 50, we get 50, you know. I said, oh, that works for me, you know, just so I get. So then I set the book down. I opened the books up. They prop my book up on top of it, and down the aisle comes a beautiful lady who looked like my Aunt Anne with the biggest, beautiful smile. And I looked at her, and she looked at me and said, hello. I said, I'm Emily Diane Gunter, and this is my first book, and you're my first customer, I hope. Mm. And she just giggled, and I said, you look like my Aunt Anne. I said, can I give you a hug? And she gave me an Aunt Anne hug. And then she said, she looked to her, she said, oh. She says, you're going to have to come see me. And I said, why? She says, I'm the one who coordinates all the adjunct professors to come and teach at the county, and I'd like you to share this with the people of the county. Because of her, I shared this book with 15,000 people at the county. Everybody, first it was supposed to be the social work department, but everybody heard about it and started sending all their people through me to her department. And Jamie and I are best friends even up till today. And so my life has been, from one thing to another, led and guided by love. Led and guided by love. And therefore, when people read this book, they can allow, they can say, this is what I want to do for my life. Now, you don't live there. All you do is plan it, leave it alone, let the universe have it, and rearrange the universe for you. And then enjoy the present moment of the day. And then handle your business with love. How do you like that, Jerry?
How do I like it? There's so much. I've been taking notes, and so much is. You know, I got to read this to you because Celeste and I, when we have a guest, we, you know, talk about what the description is going to be, and I tell her what I think I'm feeling, or what we, you know, we put heads together and hearts together, and this is what she downloaded after she said, listen to this description. She called me, she said, listen to this description. Just let me know if you like it. She said, if you met Mooty Emily while you were in school, there is no telling what genius she would have pulled out of you. She believes in teaching genius in each child with proven techniques for utilizing the mind. Forget about memorization. Thank you very much. And repeating what you've been told. Mooty Emily is an educator for the soul.
Oh,
I mean,
can you send that to me? That's wonderful. That's the best description I ever had.
You are, but truly an educator for the soul, because I've been taking notes here. I'm thinking, wow, listen to Mooty just go. And in everything that you shared, you talked about teaching young people how to learn first, learning how to learn. Usually we talk about learning, but let's start with the foundation, because learning is not something you just do. You got to know how to learn. And you took it and just inspiring, then you talk about breath, you talk about knowing who you are, thoughts of things, you know, falling in love with your brain, how it works, tapping into the genius mind. And then you flip the story, because if people who are really paying attention would think you're talking about your book, you're talking about life. Because now you went to a place after inspiring young people. Now you had an opportunity to even apply what you were teaching your students. So from a place of fear of writing a book, the doubt, you had your community report you saying, you got the book, and you're like, wait, did she hang? I know this woman did not hung up on me. You know, the kind of attitude your young people, children, had when you were telling them about learning and breathing and music. They were like, I know, who is she talking to? Your friend believed in you, and she was a visionary that saw you, and you pulled on family. You applied the principle. You know, you trust the process of life. You ask the same thing you were teaching your children. I can't even call them students because you see them as your children. So yes, what you were teaching them, you had to use your mind mapping. You had to practice what you teach. You know, you ask the universe. You know, you sat and said, and not only that, you were disciplined enough to wake up to not say five more minutes, or I remember in the morning to get up and look at what you were given. You know, and people just showed up on your path to support you with the business and business things that you need. But you trusted the process of life. You followed the sign. And you talk, I mean, it's so much in that story. It's like you gave us your biography of how you lived your life and how you are. So your book is really about this journey of an elder's life. You know, as I listen to you, and it's a journey, and reminding us that we all can learn, we all are geniuses, all of us, but we've got to remember to connect with the breath of life, to ask for support, to ask for guidance, and not be afraid to be vulnerable, and not be afraid to be critiqued, not be afraid to say, I need your help. And in asking for help, all the other stuff we get, you know, we just kind of release stuff we don't need. Woo!
Whoa. I was writing as fast as you were talking. Thank you.
I mean, I was writing it as a
fear. Teaching back. I'm telling you, teaching back. I love it.
Believe in yourself. You had a friend who was a visionary who saw you when you were doubting yourself, our community, family, applying principles, trusting the process of life, asking the universe, receiving, discipline, the discipline to keep saying, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do. You know, setting intention, not making excuses because you've been asked to write a book, even with your story about English. I hate English. Your children said, I hate math. So really, the universe gave you back what you gave out. And, you know, there's a universal law that we only get to keep what we give away. You gave away your genius mind, your genius skill, your creativity. And that creativity, that gift of life came back to support you on your journey. Whew, what a story.
What a summary.
Yes, indeed. We're going to drink some water now. I'm definitely going to drink water. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Celestial Moment and wrap up the well, we're not going to wrap up the conversation because we don't wrap up conversation in Live Conversations Radio. We release the conversation. And after Celestial Moment, we want to come back and talk about, you know, just maybe a little bit more about breathing, how it can help, especially children who are labeled learning disabled, that they've got learning disabilities.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that.
Young. Yes, indeed. Yes. Oh, my God. What a story. What a summary. I love me, Elder Emily, Muti Emily. That's one of the, how do I put this? This is what we need more. We need to honor the elders, and the elders of today need to honor themselves, because, I mean, no wonder I can even get the question out at the beginning. I was trying to formalize a question. I mean, I wrote it down, but when it came time to ask, it's like, well, just let her talk. Life is good, you know. Life is simple if we just remember to breathe. We're going to take a break. You can find out more about Elder Emily Diane Gunter by going to her website. It is Rites of Passage Online.org. That's RITES of Passage Online.org. You can find out more about her. Her latest book is Super Learning 3000, and reminding us the importance of supporting our young people to learn how to learn so they can develop their own learning style. You know, we're going to talk about learning disabilities, But the truth is, it's not really learning disabilities. It's really teaching disabilities. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. For more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many chips in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you, my brother. And yes, we are talking to Elder Emily Diane Gunter, Muti Emily. She is God in action. She is truly a spiritual light. She's an author. She's a mother. She's a grandmother. She's a visionary. She is an angel in a body. Her latest book is Super Learning 3000, Learning Made Easy. And her story is inspiring in me and all of us, I'm sure, how we can be with our young people and know that there's so much more, that if they are an expression of God, truly they can learn. Truly there's nothing they can't do. Don't let nobody label your children. If they are, let them label them as genius, because that's what they are. They're geniuses. And if they don't, if they're confused because they're dealing with their own stuff, you label them. You label them in the way you want to see them. Celeste, how are you doing after that? Oh, my God. I'm so full.
I'm ready for
really.
Back to school.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's right. It's funny because I was thinking, I need to go back and learn math. I really did think that. I mean, I loved where it took a while for me to get to that state. But I'm thinking, there's something that I need to learn. I know what you mean.
Yes. I really enjoyed that conversation. And I want to definitely help release it in a beautiful way, because I know Muti Emily has even more gifts to leave us with.
Yes.
So
yes,
I'm going to
give
you this gift for you and the listeners right now. Okay?
Okay. Go for it.
And procreate. Okay.
That's right. And multiply the consciousness of truth.
There you go. Here we go. Good afternoon, family. My name is Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace all that is showing up in your life right now. 7 is the energy of the day. It's a number of mystical power and introverted quality. Being ruled by Neptune, we are invited to go out into the deep and get ready for a haul. We are said to have seven chakras, and the seventh chakra is the crown chakra, and it's the highest. It represents our ability to be fully connected spiritually. Seven also belongs to an African goddess of the oceans, Imoja, and she is the life-sustaining portion of the ocean, the mother of the waters. Seven also shows up as the chariot in tarot. It represents victory. Our bodies are our chariots, carrying our spirit confidently where it may go. The chariot is astrologically associated with the sign of Cancer, representing another dose of mother love, nurturing, protection, and psychic power. The seventh letter of the alphabet is G, and words like gifted, gratitude, and goddess connect us to the divine power of the number seven. Now today, we're going to put the spotlight on the spider from the medicine card. The spider's number is not seven. It's actually 43, but when you add 4 plus 3, you get 7. So here we go. Spider, weaving webs of delight, weave me a peaceful world, carrying creation in your web, waiting to be unfurled. Now, who didn't fall in love with Charlotte's Web, the story about the little piggy who could read words in the spider's web, which ultimately saved its life? Spider is the symbol for the infinite possibilities of creation. Therefore, it is connected to female energy, for the feminine is what gives birth. Grandmother Spider, as she is affectionately known to Native Americans, took part in a plan to heal the suffering of children from the land of nightmares. With the shaman and the four elements, they provided relief using their own natural talents. For instance, air agreed to carry the children's dreams. Then earth agreed to hold the dreams within her hoop. Water agreed to wash and separate dreams from wanted to unwanted. Fire then agreed to use the morning sun to burn the unwanted dreams. Then Grandmother Spider stepped in and created a special web where only wanted dreams escaped down to the dreamers. Thus, this is how the dream catcher was born. In this intricate world, we each have a special gift to offer. Understanding our fragility and our strength, we know how much we need each other. When we work together, interdependently, we heal our children and we heal ourselves as we weave the best dream possible in the web of life. And that's the story of Seven, told through our friend the spider. All is well. You can find a complete story of the Grandmother Spider at motherbird.com/dream. I'll see you soon for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Well, you just told the story of Muti Emily. She is truly, I'm going to mute her now. She is truly Grandmother Spider, Muti Emily. That's your story.
Thank you.
That is
and
your
I love
story.
It. I'm going to have to watch Charlotte's Web again.
Oh.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Celeste. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Spider.
Thank you, Muti. My pleasure.
Thank you. I love it when people add to what I've given, you know, because it always takes me to another level. I love it.
I mean, you're an inspirer, and, you know, sometimes I can be hard on myself. And with the beginning of a conversation, as I said before the break, it's like, come on, what was... And I would say to myself while you started the conversation, it's like, but you wrote the question down. Why didn't you just read it? But, you know, as I listened to you, it's like, I couldn't have formed any question. You know, I just give you the space because you taught life lesson in telling the story of super learning. And we have a few minutes together. So I wanted to talk about breathing, especially, you know, breathing as it relates to helping young people tap in and parents helping their children to tap into the genius talent in their children, because children have been labeled learning disability, which is a lot of BS. So I'm not going to ask any questions. This is the point I want you to touch. I'm going to throw it back to you. I know better than to ask questions right now.
Well, basically, the breath is the foundation of all my work. Without the breath, nothing can happen in the body. If you hold your breath, or somebody puts a pillow over your face and smother you, no breath, no life. And the first thing you get is breath, and the last thing you have at the end is the loss of breath. And so therefore, all in between, we're responsible for breathing. And when I first started teaching this breathing process, everyone said, we know how to breathe. You know, we don't need to teach us how to breathe. This was in a meeting with 16 principals that I got thrown out of because they said that this breathing and self-empowerment, you know, kids need reading, math, and, you know, reading, math, and what was the other one? The three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah.
So I was crushed, but I said, that doesn't stop nothing. They just don't know. Because if you're holding your breath, your brain is not, that's when your cells are not getting the oxygen it needs in order to function. And ADD and ADHD, true ADD, is where a child has a rope, I mean, not the rope, but the umbilical cord wrapped around the neck during birth.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, there are brain cells that did not get oxygen. And so therefore, when the brain goes to that section of cells that didn't get oxygen, you know, it's sort of like they go into a stare because the brain says, I have no information for you because there's nothing there. But all you have to do is bring the child's eyes back to you and ask them to breathe, and it'll go to another set of good cells. So the difference between ADD and ADHD is to breathe or not to breathe. And whenever I have children who have these symptoms, whether they are true or not, it could be because of diet, of not giving the brain the nourishment it needs, the protein it needs, the food it needs, and the energy, the fructose, the fresh fruits and vegetables, in order to function. And so when people say, I think my child, you know, has one of these conditions, I said, change his diet first, and you're going to find out that your child may not have this. A lot of children are ADD and ADHD. They're drunk. They're eating candy, tremendous highs, tremendous lows, and then they're acting, running all over the place because they keep popping in a Skittle or a now later in order to keep their high up. And then after they're not children anymore, they want this high still, then they go to higher drugs. So I tell parents, please, you know, get your children to breathing, relax as they go off to sleep, so that it becomes their way of breathing. And breathe through their nose. Breathing into the count of 7 through their nose and out to the count of 10 through their mouth will cleanse their lungs and cleanse their mind. And then go to an easy breath of 7 in and 7 out. And this kind of relaxed breath, which they call the yogic breath, basically gives them the opportunity to oxygenate their brain in a way that will help the brain to function. But you've got to do more. You've got to do more. You have to give them the water. No water? You don't have water for 3 solid days? All of a sudden, every kind of element you can think of will show up. And so they need the breath. They need the water. And now they need good protein and fructose, which is the carbohydrates and nuts and grains and the fresh fruits and vegetables. I mean, because it's very necessary to eat and to eat healthy. Dead food is potato chips. Now, I will have a barbecue chip at a picnic, but that's not my diet every day, you know. There are children who wake up and they have candy for breakfast. And then when their parents say, come and eat, they say, I'm not hungry. Because they've got junk in their stomach making them think that they're full. And then they get to school and now they're acting out. They get to school and all of a sudden they're falling asleep. Tremendous highs, tremendous lows, no nutritional value is what candy gives you. And so this breath, and when you breathe, take that breath first, you come up with better decisions. You're not doing a fear thought. You're doing an empowered thought. The breath will do that for you all day long. But, you know, I wanted to say something else that I forgot to say last time. The book, Supermath 2000, never came out because my students told me if I wrote that book, they would not pick it up because it had the word math on it. And they said we use it for everything, and that's how the super learning came about. And that's all my students, if anybody out there who's hearing, who was at Grossmont College back in the 90s, they were responsible for helping me to see and know and feel more. But the another thing I wanted to add, too, before we go on, is that the art in this particular book is the original art from the book that came out in 1992 called Super Learning 2000. That had Kadir Nelson's artwork. He was an unknown artist at the time, and he did the cover and all of the illustrations on the inside to describe each book, I mean each chapter. And when I asked him, Kadir, do you want to read my book, so he can do the illustrations. He says, Mom, you have us living, breathing, and eating this super learning every day of our life. I know what to draw. And when I saw his and when I saw his illustrations and the cover, all I could do was cry and said, yes, you do know who your mother is, and you do know what I teach. Mm. Thank you. He now is a famous artist, and he has 38 children's book, Caldecott Honor winner, as well as Coretta Scott King winner of the American Library Association and the Image Awards. I mean, it's been really wonderful, the life that he has had as an artist, living his genius that we identified when he was three.
And,
so and
he's the one that wanted to be a doctor. He's the one that wanted to be a doctor, right, and be an engineer.
No, that's my other son, Amin.
Amin wanted
to be a doctor. Kadir always wanted to be an artist. When he was 5 years old, he left his pencil and his paper on the floor. And his father said, come and pick up your toys. And I saw him have great upset. I said, Kadir, what's wrong? He said, these are not toys. These are my tools.
Oh,
that
wow.
Day, I knew I had artists on my hands, that he took
wow.
it back. You know, so when you discover your child's genius, feed it. Feed it with love. Feed it for birthdays, holidays, and every other kind of day. Always give them something that relates to their genius. Now, take them to museums and aquariums and out in nature and hiking and camping and doing all kinds of different things with your genius child. When it comes to their presents, don't waste your money. Give them what relates to their genius. Because... It was a little paint set that he had played with of his sisters when he was five, when he did his first painting. He came to me all upset. He's messing up my toys. Now, this is the $1.98 toy. I spent $200 on each child, right? All the money I had. And he is enthralled with a $1.98 paint set. And he brings me this paint set. And, he brings me this. She brings this board. And it was done perfectly, and he was only five. And I said, so, and that's when I told her then, I said, Celia, you're going to need to nurture your brother for the rest of his life. He's an artist. I said, so therefore, I want you to pay attention and help him save everything. And you protect him when he's getting in trouble because he didn't take out the trash because he's busy drawing. Go take out the trash for him real quick and then tell him he owes you a picture or something. And she has been his promoter and protector ever since. Matter of fact, her company, Urgent Inc., brought Kadir here to Miami for his show and will be bringing him back for our mural projects. And so the genius just feeds your life. And it feeds, and the families who support their geniuses, it feeds your life too, even if all you do is get to watch and experience. Because I tell people that when children are exhibiting a genius and you enjoy it, and you celebrate it, you go right at that moment to the place where they are when they're creating, and that's in the heart of God. Yeah. So anybody who wants to see Kadir's work in this book, please get it, or go to his website at Kadir, K-A-D-I-R, Nelson.com, and enjoy what genius looks like starting from the age of three, because once they know what they can do, they'll do it for the rest of their life. Even my children who've been related as special. Every child has, there's eight geniuses. Some kids who are, you know, that hyperactive, is because they got all eight geniuses operating one time and nobody knows, and therefore they cannot tame that in and bring it into a focused opportunity of what they want to do for their life. When you use a child's genius and their values, and they choose their values, their own. I have children as young as 5 years old in kindergarten doing all of this. They go into life focused and centered with love because they love who they are, they love their genius, and they know they make a difference.
The educator for the soul has spoken and shared the story of, you know, I'm grateful for your parents and their parents, your parents' parents, so, and how that legacy got passed on for your mother teaching about the religion of the heart and your father teaching you about the power of the mind, and your life has been one that's demonstrated what you learned from your parents, and the learning continues through other people's children who are all your children. You are truly an educator for the soul, and I am so, so grateful that I know you and to have you in my life. I am grateful for all you're doing, and we always have a place for you here. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to, I thought I was too busy to be here today. I am so glad I just stopped and took this moment to relax with you and Celeste, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Yes. We love you and continue to inspire and be a visionary that you are. And we're going to bring you back because we need your wisdom so we can go out to the rest of the world and expand and leave a legacy. You're already doing that.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
And talk to you. And so enjoy.
Yes. Thank you, Muti right. Emily. Love and appreciate you. Talk to you later. Bye bye.
It's a blessing. Bye-bye.
Life is good. It's getting better. My soul is fed. I'm bringing on Celeste because I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm going to play something for you, actually, but then bring on Celeste. Woo! I mean, you tapped into something when you came up with that description, because when I heard it yesterday, I was like, oh, I love it. And
I know, right? But I had your help, though. And to scan it, I've had that experience, everything that she's talking about. I was one of those kids who hated math. So to hear the teacher side of it and bring people, like, I wish I'd had her opportunity, the opportunity
yes.
to have her when I was younger. But I did have a college teacher, and that's where I got my first A in math. She had Muti Emily's energy about approaching math. That way. So I was fortunate. My mom got to frame. My mom framed that A, man. She goes, my baby made an A in college, man. What? And I dropped the class like 10 times. You know what I mean? I dropped that math. It's like, Celeste, you will not graduate from college if you do not take this math class. It got to that point. And I had a teacher, very much so like Muti Emily, who I just was like, wow. And it became fun.
And, I mean, just listen to her story, because she really activates the genius in each and every one of us. This is not just for children. This is about what it means to be human, how we can tap. Because there's so many people going through some things right now. It may not even be to do with learning or being in college or, being in school. It could just be life. I mean, I was writing so fast, different things. Just being able to call on family. She talked earlier about judging, ask the universe, ask God, the goddess for what you want, and don't judge what you get. Receive it, allow it, trust it, the principles of just being disciplined enough to work with your mind in alignment with your intention. Because so much is going on in our lives sometimes. We say we want something, we're feeling something, but we've got to be disciplined enough to pay attention. She talks about being a good listener, and not being afraid to ask for help, not be afraid to say, I don't know how to do it. Yeah, from an egoic mind, or you can say, oh, my God, you shouldn't say that. You're praying a prayer. Well, sometimes you just say, I need help, okay? And then in being, because I see that as being vulnerable. This is somebody who's touched young people to believe in themselves. Now they ask her to write a book. It's like, well, I don't know how to write a book. And then she spoke the book. And to have somebody that believes in us to say, the book is in you. Whew. What a show.
What a show indeed. And I'm looking at some of the paintings from her son,
Kadir. Yes.
Wow.
They look like pictures. They look like something that, it look like pictures. And that's KadirNelson.com, KadirNelson.com. And
she birthed that.
Yes, she did. Of course. She can't help but birth that. because of who she is. And some of the people who have young people now who are, you know, they're saying, well, their mind is so advanced. It's because the parents created a space for that kind of life to be birthed through them. And we forget, you know, some parents say, well, my mind ain't as sharp. I wish my mind was as sharp as that. No, don't do that. Affirm the space you created to birth that kind of child or children.
I know.
I feel fed. I'm full.
Yes. That's what happens with soul food.
I know, right? Like they say in England, I'm full up. I'm full up. Yes, I'm full up. I am full up. You know, full up of what?
Y'all talk funny in England. Won't be nothing to y'all do talk funny. Talking about I'm full up. What is that?
Other people in other countries think Americans talk funny. Like,
right. We're the land of hip-hop.
Yeah, and your point. Young people working in the Boys and Girls Club, they say, Mr. Ade, why don't you speak English? You talk funny. You have an accent. I don't have an accent. I'm like, I can't even respond to all of that because, you know, what am I going to say? I say, well, next time you get an opportunity to go to another country, you would know that you have an accent. Some people, I wish I have an accent. We all do. You just don't hear it because you're around other people that speak.
You're absolutely right. I'm just picking on you.
Nah, you can't. I know who you be. Let's pick on some friends who are listening. Thank you. Thank you all. We want to play something from Abraham about autism.
Yes.
And Deborah is in the house. Laura is in the house. Tiro or Tero is in the house.
Yes.
Vicky Lady, silent listeners disguised as guests. And those of you listening on the phone line, well, those of you listening that we don't see, really, because there's some people that we don't see. We see you. We really see you, no matter what technology is doing. And those of you listening on archive or within radio listeners, thank you all for tuning in. And I need to drink some water. I think we're going to let's play something from Abraham. You know,
okay.
Let's hear what Abraham has to say about what, yes.
Before you bring Abraham in, and I love that autism piece, do you want to give us a quick rundown on what you and Lisa are talking about tomorrow?
Next, after Abraham, man, the educator for the soul gave me so much. I'm like, I'm full up.
Okay. I didn't know you'd have time after. You got this your show.
Yeah, we've got to. Oh, we got a lot of time. Yeah, we'll come back. It ties into this conversation. And even the show I did yesterday, not qualified enough to judge yourself. I mean, I just feel so much moving through me right now. I need Abraham to do some talking. I need to, because this is more than just doing the radio show. I'm clear about that. I'm clear about that. There's some folks moving through. All right, let's do Abraham and then we'll be back, okay? Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. This is Abraham expressing themselves through Esther Heeks. And to find out more about Abraham, their website address is abraham-hicks.com or abraham-hicks.com. Yes, Abraham.
Something more?
Well, I also work with children that have disabilities, that have autism, and my biggest question is, I'm trying to understand, you mentioned a little bit about this earlier, but who created the autism or the disease for a child that didn't have a choice?
Everyone has a choice, and there are a number of things that we want to give you about this. First and foremost, every one of you who makes the decision to come forth into these physical bodies has full view of the physical body you're coming into before you come. So no one gets trapped in a situation that is different from what they want. No exceptions to that. That's helpful to know. Really a downstream feeling thought, isn't it? Now, there are powerful teachers, especially now who are coming forth, who have been, from their non-physical vantage point, aware that there are so many humans who have forgotten about vibration and alignment, who are disregarding their own guidance system, who are trying to make their life work by trying to control conditions. And the teacher in you knows that anybody that's trying to make anything better by controlling conditions is going to experience a life of futility, because there will always be those conditions you can't control, because it's not your job or your right or your ability to control what's going on in everybody's experience around you. Their lives are their lives to create and control. So rather large numbers of energies are coming in deliberately wanting a physical condition that they can't be talked out of or demanded out of. In other words, they say, I'll go forth and I'll be different enough that you can't pound this square peg into a round hole. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to control me. I'm going to be free, you see. So as you interact with them, if you get the wonderful experience of interacting with them when they're not being challenged by a system that's trying to change them. In other words, imagine how frustrating that would be, to be fulfilling your intent from your source perspective and making it all the way into a physical body different enough that people can't control you, and then notice they're still trying to control you. That's the frustration and outrage that you see in them. They want to say to you, and if they were better with their words, they would say to you, wait a minute, I went to a lot of trouble to be different. You're supposed to leave me alone. And those that are in an environment where somebody's not now trying very hard to make them normal, you called it a disability, they would call it an advantage. In other words, from source perspective, it would go something like, I decided that I'm going to take the powerful being that I am, and I'm going to go forth into a physical experience, and I'm going to be different enough that you can't control me, which means I'm going to be one of the few people on the planet that you'll ever meet that knows that I am free. Because I choose freedom over your approval of me. And then the society who is embarrassed by them or worried about them is forever trying to, oh, we'll just find one more way that we can bring you to normalcy. And they've come forth to say, we didn't want to be like you. That's why we chose to be different. We've come to offer a message that there is balance and value in our differences. We've come to teach unconditional love. Most people talk about unconditional love, but they don't live it. Most people say, oh, you're so sweet, I love you under those conditions, and you are so strange, I cannot love you under the... So if you would just be more like that, it would be ever so kind to me, because I want to love you, and if you were more like that, I would be able to love you. So just try to change a little bit so that I can feel better. Where unconditional love says, I want so much to be connected to Source that I will see whatever I'm looking at through the eyes of Source, which means I do not need you to be different so that I can feel better. I have the ability to adjust my gaze to align myself with Source. Unconditional love says, I will find connection with Source and then I will look. Conditional love says, I will ask you to be the way I need you to be so that when I look, I will feel better. Huge difference. Unconditional love is absolute freedom. Conditional love is absolute bondage. So these blessed beings have come forth as teachers of freedom. And interesting, the most interesting thing of all, they feel free even when you try to control them. It's such an interesting thing. So the autistic child feels free and isn't worried about anything, have you noticed? Right. And the people that are trying to get them to be different so that they can feel better are in absolute bondage.
Right.
And the child says, I don't know what your problem is. And the teacher or parent says, you're the problem. And the child says, you kind of need to get over that because I can't change. If you're going to interact with me, you've got to discover unconditional love. And when you do, you'll be free like me. And then maybe so many of us won't have to come forth autistically in order to teach this to you. They're having a very good time.
Yes.
Watch them up close and feel the joy of their being. And tell them, you need not change a hair for me.
Bless you. That's right. Thank you.
Not change a hair for me. Unconditional love is freedom. Conditional love is bondage. That is the invitation. The invitation for us to be who we are, to be unconditional love, to express that in our actions.
not to tell our children, I love you unconditionally, but the world doesn't love you unconditionally, so you got to change. It is really time to, it's a continuation to remember our connection to the past and create community. It's time for us to come together and unite. And I am ordaining everyone that's listening to the show right now. You are now being ordained as an educator for the soul. We've been educated through Elder Muti Emily. Yes. Oh, my God.
Indeed.
So that's what's on your mind. Go ahead.
No, I was saying she's a natural storyteller, too. I mean, you can feel that, you know, when someone's telling an amazing story, I felt like I was in the classroom. I saw her with her boom box. I could hear the classical music. You know, I was, like, working on something, and I'm, like, watching myself, like, oh, can I scan everything I'm working on right now? I mean, it's just nice. It's just a nice, refreshing way to understand that each of us has our own genius. I'm trying to create a space where that genius can come out and be free.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun times, people trying to suppress.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to let it out.
Yeah, no, that's right.
It's
okay to let it out.
What did you say? Did you tell me yesterday?
You said what?
You said something yesterday. See, I said I was going to write it down. You said, what do you hold back? What you hold
the
back?
The world misses out. When you hold back, the world misses out. Yeah, the world misses out on that genius, that gift, the talent. So people are wondering what's going on with the world, or the world is going through hell in a handbasket. Well, your world might be, mine isn't. But when we hold back our gift, when we think what we have to offer is not good enough, when we judge ourselves, even after we realize we're not qualified to judge ourselves, we literally deprive the rest of humanity, because there is a reason we're here. You know, just like Abraham talks about the autistic children. It's like we're trying to get them to be something else. You're trying to love them conditionally, and then we're all in bondage. But if we love them unconditionally, then we're all free. And we get to redefine what normal is. This whole thing about learning disabilities that people have, no, it's teaching disability. You have one way of teaching, and you refuse to yield. They take all the creative programs out of school. They take out funding. I'm not even going to go off on a tangent because I know I can. But you know what? It's good. It's an opportunity for us to come together and unite. Call on your community. Call on the elders and your grandparents. Learn from them. We need to start honoring those who are the elders, and we need to remind the elders to honor themselves, or else we're going to feel disconnected, because it's really about the web of life. If you're not honoring your ancestors, I don't care what kind of life they lived. You know, if they did something that you're ashamed of, forgive them, because their life lives in you. Their life is in you. You are connected to them in your DNA, energetically, spiritually. So you can't, you take a spider web and you're trying to cut a part of this spider web because you think, oh, you know, let me cut this little part of the spider. And what happens to the rest of the spider web? It collapses. So you got to honor each line, its lineage. You got to honor the humanity. And then when we start honoring those who came before us, we're in a better place to honor ourselves and recognize we are the place for healing. And Celeste was talking about tomorrow's show, Ancestral Blueprint. It's conversation. It's a continuation, you know. It's like there are people whose role is to teach. And as teachers, we honor the teachers. We embrace what they have to share. But we also have to do our own work so that we know when the head, the intellect, the egoic mind is starting to take control, and you get sucked in by the power of a teacher and you forget yourself as a teacher, because we're all here to teach something. Sometimes it's just to bring a smile to somebody's face. You know, that's a form of teaching. You're teaching love. Muti Emily said it earlier. I call it Elder Emily. So if you wonder why I'm saying Muti M, but Muti Emily said earlier, she said, my job is to love, my full-time job. That's everybody's role. We're here to love.
So join us tomorrow, and we teach you how to, or remind you, really, because there's nothing that you need to be taught. We already know this truth. We already know. And we, as my friend who is listening right now, we are the edge of something new, and it's happening already. We're all feeling the call. We're all feeling like there's more. There's got to be more. And we are all part of that more. So let's all be midwives to one another. Actually, I'm going to do something real quick in 1 minute. Let me bring on Deborah. Yeah, I know. I'm feeling it. Let me bring on Deborah real quick. She better feel. Hey, Deborah. You
hey,
better
Reverend.
Run to that phone. Deborah, where are you? Where are you, Deborah? She got you got your phone muted.
Oh, I had it muted. Yeah,
I know
totally
you did.
Knocking.
I know you did.
Hello,
Deborah.
Hello, Reverend Deborah. How you doing?
Great, yourself.
Love
man, that was
it.
A great that was a great guest you had today. Man, I was looking up her books and everything. That's awesome.
Well,
you
and
know,
something
I mean,
in
we have a great guest here with you as well.
Thank you. Oh, Ade, I tried what you said, and I did preach that or do that lesson on Path to Enlightenment Sunday. Just like you
said.
Tell
them what we said. So give them a bigger picture because, you know, this is radio, theater of the mind. Tell them what happened. We got time. Well, 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, Ade said, let's try something new. Let's just go ahead on and not write out the lesson sermon and get up there and speak. And I did, and everyone loved it better than anything else I had done. I was like, wow, this stuff really works. This is pretty good. I'm going to do it again. So thank you for the suggestion.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. You're welcome. And I got to say this because I'm living this out. It's kind of scary sometimes. But Deborah and I, Reverend Deb, we were talking. She was saying, you know, I just felt to call her. She said, I feel like this something has happened. I feel like something's wanted to be birthed. And I got a lesson sermon coming up this Sunday, and I've been thinking of what to write and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, why not just be this new something? It just get out there and let it happen through you. And, you know, I really believe now that the new consciousness is to really now be what we've been talking about. We've been talking about we are one with God, we are one with Spirit. It's time for us to be God in action. And I am so proud of you for trusting your voice, your spirit, your soul, and letting it unfold. And because that's what time it is. That's what time we're here to birth. We're all here to birth a new reality. No more building. It's nothing. I mean, building is good, but we need to focus on birthing a new way of being. So I'm grateful you're in my life. I have great people in my life. Anything else you want to share before we release you?
Oh, just sharing just what you said. Just to be, just follow your spirit, go with the flow, and you cannot possibly fail because there is no failure.
Mm-hmm. I know
Word.
That's right. Thank you, my friend. I know that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. It's time to release the show. It's time for us to be
distraction.
Thank you,
Celeste. I had a wonderful time.
I did too. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. Talk to you in 2 minutes. And I will plan tomorrow's show and see what we get first. Thank you all for listening. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be the change. Gina Relay, because I was thinking of love. I was thinking of love, right, Gina?
Mm-hmm.
Be the change. Be the love. Be loved. And be true to yourself. We out of here. Gina Renee can be found on Facebook. Peace and blessings.
The answer's not far. Let's come together now and play our part. It's not like what you see. And the pain's just too much to believe. That I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change. It's all in me. One world in harmony. One world, one family. I ain't waiting on nobody. Cause I'ma be the change. It's all in me. Hurricanes, tsunamis, wars and famines. Between religions, misunderstandings.
different people with the same passions, just disconnected from our cause and our actions. It's time we recognize the law of attraction and see we receiving exactly what we asking. Am I focused on lack and limitations, fear and separation, and I'm open to a new conversation? I'm talking about the love vibration, everybody wants unification. A change is moving across the nation, yeah, we choose courage and real communication. It's cause we know there's no time for wasting. The state of this world is our creation. Let's take a good look around this place. Yo, turn off your TV now, it's time to face this reality. Yo, this is the real show. The human race, we've been so disgraceful. We say we want peace, yet we're so wasteful, killing all the life on earth to take up space for what? Yeah, we all want the same thing, but more stuff, happiness that won't bring. Yeah, we all know that we get what we give. Time's up now, how we gonna live? If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe, say I can feel it calling me, I'ma be the change, it's all in me. One world in harmony, one world, one family. I ain't waiting on nobody, cause I'ma be the change, it's all in me. If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe, say I can feel it calling me, I'ma be the change, it's all in me. One world in harmony, one world, one family. I ain't waiting on nobody, cause I'ma be the change, the change is me.
The world needs us to be ourselves. The world needs us to wake up and to be real. Are you down? Are you ready? Are you awake? Are you alive? In this very hour, you'll listen and take the vow that will set you free. I know what I'm talking about. Do you?
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.